Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network, produced by 91.7 WEEM.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the third segment of the Arabian Sports Network podcast. I'm Gavin Shook, and I'm joined by my good friend here, Draven Wiseman. Now, Draven, I told you before we walked in today, we're going to be talking about this year in Arabian sports and how it's just, you know, different from really any other athletic year we've had. I mean, granted, last year, 2020, we were putting up with COVID, but COVID canceled sports, you know. It canceled. We didn't have to put up with COVID restrictions in any sports because COVID canceled these sports. Well, this year starts off in the summer. Football. It's a wild ride from the beginning, man.
Yeah, and I do mention there, Gavin. Just overall, I started practicing with you guys at first for football, and we had morning meetings almost every single day with Coach Richmond, and he would always go on a spiel about, you know, leading the charge and everything else.
Yeah,
and
so like being a front porch of the high school and whatnot, and just, you know, trying to be leaders.
And he, Coach Richmond, you know, he's a great coach. And
I love Coach Richmond.
Yeah, and everything. And he would always say, get out of bed in the morning. You know, we would have to do, you know, group exercises outside of school. So we had to do our position-based meetings and whatnot. And overall,
he has small groups.
Yeah, and then finally, Coach Richmond was able to put us in to groups here at the school, mm-hmm. as all the other sports were able to start practicing as well. Right. And then come to school in August, I think it was August 7th when we started. I don't even remember now, but, football's my favorite sport. It always has been. I've played for 12 years, and then now I broadcast football. But overall, this season, we had a great season. I mean, we went undefeated. We were undefeated the first five games, and then we had that, you know,
first four.
Then we played Mount Vernon, then we played New Powell, then we played Delta, all three good teams in a row. And then we dropped all three of them, and all three of them we were leading at halftime. So that just tells you, I mean, this team has, you know, it has something valuable here.
And we're knocking on the door.
Yeah, and we saw some great things, like, you know, Luke Bayes. I mean, Evan McMillan at backup quarterback. Luke Candiano, and nobody expected him to play as good as he did this season.
Exactly.
And our defense, I mean, we were just smacking people left and right.
This was amazing. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it, honestly.
Yeah, and like Evan McMillan, he could swing over to safety, swing over to quarterback, swing over to whatever you needed Evan McMillan to do. He was there. And Luke Bayes, I remember just one play from Luke Bayes, and that was
it at New Powell?
It was at Mount Vernon.
Okay.
It was actually here, and they scored another touchdown. It was like, I think it was like a minute and 9 seconds left, and we were at the one, and he just broke through the line and ran like a 99-yard touchdown.
Uh-huh.
After Mount Vernon, it was like, this game's over, and Luke heard it, and I remember Coach Richmond coming up to the press box, and he was like, Luke Bayes was mad, and you could just tell because he broke that tackle and just ran all the way for a touchdown. But overall, I mean, the football season, it was sad how we always pull Mount Vernon in sectionals.
Yeah.
If we did not pull Mount Vernon in sectionals, we would make it to regionals.
I mean, it's like, if you don't like it, you got to stop it. You got to stand up to the bully. And quite frankly, I hate to say it, but we really just weren't ready last year. As close as we were to beating them in the regular season, it's just like the sectional, they just came out and just smacked us from the get-go.
And, like, all 4 years of our high school careers, and, you know, you went to Mount Vernon until your freshman year, and then I've been to Pendleton all 4 years of high school, and every single year we've had a good team. We just we fall short of the goal.
Because freshman year we lost to Western, but the first Peyton Burmeister, I believe, took one to the house on a KOR the first play of the game. Sophomore year we lose to Marion. Our running back fumbled at the 2-yard line and lost us.
Then junior year, we lose to Mount Vernon in the sectional championship. And then also a fumble from a senior that I think it was Tommy Long.
Yes.
And then, you know, this year, I don't know. It seems so weird because we do so good against every other Hoosier Heritage Conference team until we get to New Powell and Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
And even if, I mean, I think Delta beat New Powell this year in football.
No, they didn't, but they were close. I remember New Pal this year, even though they went like 12-2 or something ridiculous, this was actually one of their worst years in history.
Yeah, and
in the past 10 years, at least, I should say.
I mean, looking at, you know, the Hoosier Heritage Conference in general, I mean, a lot of teams have lost good players.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Spiegel, even Delta. Delta had Charlie Spiegel at one point before his prime, and then he transferred over to New Pal. They won the championship, and then he went to IU. And then I don't even know if he's playing football right now. But and then looking at Newcastle, they had Luke Mumblow. He was a great wide receiver for Newcastle, and then he's transferred over to basketball and plays at Ball State now as a starter.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, man, I feel like our conference, from what I've seen in the past 4 years, is more competitive than it's ever been in football, at least.
Oh, no.
And you know what caused that, man? I hate to say it, but New Pal. New Pal just being so dominant. Newcastle got a new weight room. Greenfield got a new weight room. We got a new weight room.
Other than Shelbyville. Yeah.
Shelbyville's got a new weight room.
They have a good gym, too.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I believe it.
Their gym is insane.
They're going to be up and coming in the next couple of years, but I wouldn't expect them to be any good for
But, like,
4 years.
Looking at football in general, all 4 years of high school, my favorite matchup, I think, was our sophomore year, and it was Pendleton Heights versus Newcastle, and we saw the Eli Pankel versus Luke Bumblow.
Yeah.
And that was.
Eli shut him down.
Yeah, that was insane. And look at Eli. Our team hasn't been the same without Eli or Anakin Allison, Tristan Spinks. We have a lot of names that have went to go play football at the collegiate college level. And I mean, look at Eli. He's a junior this year, I think.
Yeah, he's thriving.
And he's had a lot of playing time at Duke.
Yeah, he's going to be a junior at least. I wouldn't know if I'd expect them to start or not, but I definitely expect a lot of playing time because, I mean, remember last year we were always seeing on Twitter him scoring or him rushing for like 30 yards at a time or something.
Yeah, and then Tristan Speaks, he walked on to Indiana State, still playing. And then
probably not going to play, though.
And then Anakin Allison, he walked on to Arizona. Tristan walked on to Indiana State, then Anakin walked on to Arizona State.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then I think he was the third string punter his freshman year. And then I guess he had one punt or something, and then it rocketed down for like 80 yards or something.
Yeah.
But just looking at football, I mean, this year, I mean, as you mentioned, we had so many good games. And as a senior, I'm friends with all of you guys. We've been brothers for however many years now that we've known each other. And just overall, I mean, this football team, it was insane. To see, you know,
it's just sad. It was so demoralizing to lose the way we did at the end of the year, man. Voice crack. At the end of the year, man. I don't know. We had a good game plan and everything. It just, you know, cars didn't line up for us.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, just cars weren't lining up. And I feel like just every year in every single sport, we always pull Mount Vernon. I don't know why, but like.
Girls softball sophomore year when we had Jordan Benefield.
You know, football, we pull Mount Vernon. Basketball, we pull Mount Vernon. Girls basketball, we pull Mount Vernon. And then now softball, we finally pull a good team in Richmond for softball. And then we will play.
And we beat Mount Vernon in softball this year, though, 13-3, like it was nothing.
Yeah, and just looking at, you know, yesterday as well, you know, we played New Pal and we lost 6-0. But
well, they're 24-0, and the last time there was a softball season, they won the state championship.
Yeah, and they have a girl that committed to Louisville for pitching. So if that tells you anything, that just means New Pal's good.
Yeah.
But as we were talking about, you know, with football, it's you know, Coach Richmond has made Pendleton Heights football a different dynamic.
Yes.
Like it was, you know, with Coach John Broughton coaching here for 40 years, he put the dynamic, he put the legendary dynamic on Pendleton Heights.
Yeah.
He won two championships with both against Mount Vernon. Both against New Pal. He beat both.
No, one was New Pal, one was Greenfield Central, I believe. They beat Mount Vernon to get there, though, one of the 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, and Coach Richmond, looking at him, he's been here 5-6 years. And
last year was his fifth, so he's coming.
And he's been to two sectional championships, and he's been a good sectional.
He's just been to one sectional championship.
Well, he went to second round, and then he went to the championship.
Yeah.
Well, no, he went to two, because Marion and with...
Marion was a first-round, my guy. And dang near was a sectional championship, though, in the first round, because they ended up winning. They went to, like, semi-state or something ridiculous.
And I think that's the game where Christian Conkling fumbled it, and then a lineman, I think, for Marion ran it down for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because I think Eli Pankel, I think he got pulled out of that game because he was injured or something, and Andy Canalison had to like take place for wide receiver. I don't even remember because it was 2 years ago now, but just overall, this football program and looking at the middle schoolers now, I think they just basically like doll crap on our eighth grade year because we have like the past three eighth grade teams that have went undefeated. And now going into this high school level team that has Coach Richmond has built, you have to take a weights class as a football player. And sure. I think I love that because you have to wait. You have to, you know, lift weights to get stronger. I mean, look at all the players this year that used to be, you know, maybe 5'11", you know, 200 pounds. And
development in the weight room is key.
Yeah.
Success in football more than
and like no muscle mass. And then look at this year, like Luke Bayes, for instance. I think
he's been at it, man. He's been at it for years at this point. That kid is no accident, bro. He is there because he will win.
And then looking at another player too, DeMarco Cooley. He plays lineman. Like that kid got huge within a couple years.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, that's why he's going to try and to play football.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane. And just overall football in general, I have good hopes for the football program here.
Yeah, me too. I'll definitely be back to see a couple games next year. No doubt.
Yeah, I'm coming back too. I'll live 2 hours away, but I'll come back and definitely be, I actually might be back for homecoming too, because I might be on the radio for homecoming next year. But overall, the football program is only going up from here. And I think the football program has a lot of people and a lot of different ways they could go about the next couple years.
Oh, for sure. Anyways, if you want to transition over to the winter, we've got the basketball team, new Coach Ballard. I mean, it's what you can expect out of a first-year coach trying to redevelop the program and a lot of young players. But at the same time, they've got talent. They just need to work on their discipline, man. I hate to say it like that, but it truly is discipline. Nothing else. It's discipline.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that you know, Coach Ballard, he had multiple goals to start this season. And he said, I want to win county. I want to win the sectional. He won county. He beat Liberty Christian at, I think, Mount Vernon. To win that county championship. And then just Coach Ballard, he's just a different level. I mean, the physical teaching he has on the team, you could just see a difference of physicality between Kevin Bates and Adam Ballard.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I don't think, saw that. I mean, look at Jameson Dunham. I mean, he could pull up farther than he ever has before.
Welcome back to part two of episode five here on the Arabian Sports Network podcast alongside Draven Wiseman. I'm Ian Stevens. Now we're going to be talking about just the NFL in general, some of the last pickups they've done and the free agency. But right now, one of the big things going around the news is Tim Tebow and his possibility of the Jaguars signing him as a tight end. As if you remember back a couple of years ago, he was the quarterback, one of the big quarterbacks at Florida, came in the NFL for a period of time. Right now, he said he's been training as a tight end, but just Draven, what have you seen out of this news article, and what do you think Tim Tebow has to offer to the NFL?
Well, actually, as you mentioned there, he actually did officially sign a one-year deal with the Jaguars as a tight end, and I believe he should have been tight end in the first place going into the NFL. I believe he was a tight end in high school, and then he transferred over to a quarterback for some odd reason. But I believe the Jaguars... Tim Tebow, I think he's one of those cases where you're not sure how he's going to do because he's been out of the NFL for so long. You don't know how he's going to play, how he's going to do, because training can only give you so much. And being in that physical sport where you're not getting hit every single year, that's going to be a very different thing when Tim Tebow, instead of throwing and running a ball, you're catching a ball now. So that's going to be very interesting to me on how Trevor Lawrence and then a veteran like Tim Tebow playing quarterback and then now playing tight end are going to work together.
But just overall for Tim Tebow, he definitely has the height and size to play tight end. But as you were mentioning, he did throw a football just now just trying to catch it. Not only catch it, but you have to be able to try to pick up yards and be able to block as well. But I mean, one of the big things people are talking about is how weird it's going to sound. Lawrence to Tebow for a touchdown. I mean, to me, that sounds a little bit off considering all I can see Tim Tebow as a quarterback And then he went to take on MLB Baseball, where he got to the minor leagues and played for the Mets affiliation and AAA. So his baseball, I guess, career to the MLB did not work. So right now he's trying to fall back onto what it all began with, and that was football.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, just Tim Tebow, I mean, he was a good quarterback. I don't think that's before really quarterbacks started advancing and, you know, really getting their game up, I guess you could say. But just thinking that in my head, Lawrence to Tebow, it just sounds so weird now. And something to mention as well, and I'm going to describe, it kind of reminds me of this, is looking at the New England Patriots as well. When Julian Edelman signed with the Patriots, he signed as a wide receiver, and he's a quarterback. And they had Brady and Bledsoe at the time, so he transferred over to wide receiver. And now that sounded weird at first, too. But now he's probably top 10 greatest wide receivers in playoff history. So looking at that, I think Tim Tebow, he has a lot of weight on his shoulders, as you mentioned. But I think you can't really, I guess you could say, predict how he's going to do, because there's too many unknowns with this situation, how he's been training, what he's been training, where he's been training. As I mentioned just a little bit ago, you can train, but you're not on the field. And he hasn't been on the field for 5-6 years. So that's going to definitely be a period where it's going to be pretty hard probably the first couple weeks of the season, just trying to catch a ball instead of throwing one.
But now as we're going to flip over and take a look at the Indianapolis Colts and just their new pickup as an offensive lineman of Eric Fisher. They signed him to a one-year $9.4 million deal. That's back in 2013. He was the number one pick in the NFL draft, as he would be playing that blindside tackle position for the new Indianapolis quarterback of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, that was a great pickup by the Indianapolis Colts. Finally getting the Eagles in the trading for Carson Wentz, and I believe Carson is probably going to be a top five quarterback going into this league. But overall, I think this is going to be a great team, and one of the things that I'm going to mention, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, they have a lot of one-year contracts. So if they don't even attempt to try to go to the Super Bowl, I don't think they're going to make it.
But as you're just saying right there for Indianapolis, they've had a very solid defense the past two seasons. Right now, after Andrew Luck made that last-minute retirement, the Colts have kind of been under the weather with their whether or not just trying to get back on their feet at the quarterback. Carson Wentz, as we mentioned earlier in episode one, he was the one that led the Eagles all the way into the playoffs. That's where eventually Nick Foles was able to take over. But without the help of Carson Wentz, and just not only Carson Wentz in general, he has that ability to be with Coach Frank Wright and just now bringing in that offensive line of Eric Fisher replacing Anthony Costanzo as he retired after the remaining last season. I think the Indianapolis Colts have their best shot of winning the Super Bowl title this year. But as you're mentioning, if they can't get to it this year, this could be their final shot.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they have the core to do it. They have the number one defense in the league right now, maybe a top – top five offense, looking at the Indianapolis Colts. And then last year they were right above the Kansas City Chiefs. And if their defense is on that level of the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City almost blew out every single team they played last season, other than the Buccaneers. So looking at that, I mean, it's pretty crazy, because looking at the core that Indianapolis Colts have, T.Y. Hilton signed another contract with the Colts. Marlon Mack, sadly, is not coming back, but we have Jonathan Taylor, who's coming back, who everybody surprised last year being able to run a 1,000-yard season as a rookie.
But yeah, as you're just saying right there, for Jonathan Taylor, his ability to shock the world as one of the top three running backs in the league as a rookie was definitely something not everybody expected. But that's all we have for you guys here in part two of episode five here on the Arabian Sports Pop or Sports Podcast. But don't you worry, because Gavin Shook and Zion Cook will be back with part three and four later on. But for Draven Wiseman, I'm Ian Stevens signing off.
Welcome to episode five of the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM. I am Draven Wiseman, and joining me this morning is Ian Stevens, another broadcaster here for WEEM, and we're going to break down really all the draft picks, the top 5, top 15, I guess you could say, draft picks of the NFL draft from this past year. So, Ian, how you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. Excited to look back at what happened already in this 2021 NFL draft. And just kind of break it down for you guys of, like, who went through the top 15 and basically what they've shown through college and what we expect them to be in the NFL.
Now, everyone knew the number one draft pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They, a few months before the draft, they got the first draft pick, and everyone knew already where Trevor Lawrence was going to go. He's from Clemson. He didn't end up winning his, I believe it was his junior year. He went to the championship and then lost to actually Ohio State, but he still went number one due to winning that one the year before versus Alabama. So overall, what do you think was going through Jacksonville's mind being able to draft such a powerful quarterback in college like Trevor Lawrence?
I mean, you look at Jacksonville back in the, I guess you could say the last 2 or 3 years, they've definitely been down as they're in the AFC South with like the Indianapolis Colts, Texans, Titans, and all the teams like that. But they have not been competing. They've been at the bottom of their division. And right now, I mean, clearly having that number one pick means you probably had the worst record in the league, which they did. So they got that number one pick. So right now, they got that quarterback they needed from, as you said, he's went to a couple national titles during his college career. This one, past one, he did not make. But then, just right now, he's trying. He has the abilities. He showed it in college. But now, will he be able to transition that into the NFL? But just looking at him, he's throwing 67% like completion-wise throughout his college career. But one of the highlighted things, he's only thrown 17 interceptions through 3 seasons in college.
Yeah, and that's very interesting to me because most college quarterbacks, you're more, I guess you could say, interception prone in college than you are in the NFL. But looking at Trevor Lawrence, I believe everyone knew he was going to be the number one draft pick before the draft even happened. But something to look at too, Ian, is looking at the next four picks, or the next three picks, I guess you could say, in the draft, surprised me a lot because that's not where I thought a lot of players were going to be going. But looking at draft pick number two, my pick was going to be Justin Fields to the Jets, but actually they went with Zach Wilson, and that really surprised me because Zach Wilson, everybody thought he was going to go down to, like, you know, the 10th pick, the 11th pick. But no, he actually went to the second pick of the NFL draft. So what did you think about the Jets? What do you think was going through their head, even with having Sam Darnold as well, drafting him in 2018 and now having a 2021 quarterback in Zach Wilson?
I mean, as you look at for the Jets, kind of like the Jacksonville Jaguars, they have not had the good solid seasons the past 2 to 3 years. I mean, Jets not normally one of the teams you would see as a Super Bowl contender. So I guess for them, they're kind of in the rebuilding stage. They've been working with Sam Darnold for the last couple of years, but right now he's not getting the job done for them. And just as a team, for the coaches and the general manager, if you're not winning, you're going to get fired. So right now they're trying to do anything they can, a little switch up, trying to get a younger quarterback to hopefully be able to change the future of the Jets around and hopefully keep their position.
And as you mentioned, there's Zach Wilson, a great quarterback to be able to do that. But looking at pick number three, and I think we've talked about this before, number three surprised the heck out of me. I thought Justin Fields was going to go number two, and I thought Zach Wilson was going to go down number three. And I thought Trey Lance, picked by the 49ers in the number three spot, I thought he was going to go down to maybe the second round or maybe late in the first round, but I definitely did not think he was going to be third overall.
Yeah, me neither. Like, I mean, you just look at it. That's three quarterbacks back-to-back-to-back. So the first three picks this year have all been quarterbacks. Now, whether that's teams desperate for a quarterback to lead their team or whether they're just trying to have a little bit more marketing space if they get a better quarterback and they decide they want to trade him for another player. But right now, I mean, you got to give Trey Lance credit coming out of North Dakota State. He definitely had a solid year. I mean, he's doing very well. He threw for 208 completions, a total of 2,947 yards in his career, and then 30 touchdowns. But in this freshman year, didn't get a whole lot of playing time in 2018. So you could say it's just basically back in the 2019 to 2020 season, he's been the starter, the go-to quarterback, you could say, for North Dakota State. So I think he has a lot of potential, but now will he be able to show it against the pros?
Yeah, and something that I thought about too, and I was listening to, you know, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, people like that, they talked about Trey Lance, and basically the 49ers went off of what happened to the 2019-2020 season, not 2020-21, because North Dakota State canceled their season because due to COVID. So Trey Lance is definitely going to have a chip on his shoulders due to not being able to have to play for a year, and then coming into now a pro league that has some pretty hard teams in it. So I think Trey Lance is going to have a big test ahead of himself.
But as you just look, you said as North Dakota State, they canceled their past football season. So he's going a full year without a game of football. So you know he's training. You know he's been prepared for the draft. He already announced or declared for the draft. So he's been working all season long. Maybe he's not getting the end game experience, but he's behind the scenes weight room, just getting throws in. But the thing that might set him apart and bring him down a little bit from another quarterback is the top two quarterbacks, they've already played games this year. They had a full season. Trevor Lawrence taking it in the college football playoffs. Unfortunately, not able to make it into the national championship, but he was right there, almost to it. But right now, for as you look, for Trey Lance, not having that experience. But I think he's definitely capable. His numbers show it. 30 touchdowns for only basically two seasons, which is kind of an eye catcher.
Yeah, and looking at number four now, Ian, is actually, I believe the Falcons had a good pick. I've never been a big fan of the Falcons. I don't like their choices usually at times as a fan. But looking at their pick, tight end from Florida, Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, I believe in college, he was a great tight end. And I believe the Falcons, I think they're in the rebuilding stage. I'm really surprised they didn't get a quarterback. The Falcons, I believe, made their good choice on getting a tight end. I think they're going with the choice now where they're going to build the other positions first before they find a different quarterback.
But, yeah, definitely, as you can say, for the Falcons, definitely have Matt Ryan. Definitely, you could almost say he's out of his prime going into the later years of his career. As I mean, you never know, as Drew Brees retired this year, so Matt Ryan could be next. But right now, Matt Ryan, he's trying to stick in the league. But right now, the Falcons have not had a good past couple of seasons. But hopefully having this tight end of Pitts could really help him out, as he had 1,492 receiving yards throughout his college career on 100 receptions, as well as putting in 18 touchdowns. But he's just a big physical player that he's going to fight for extra yardage. Just his ability to not only be able to catch, but his ability to block and be able to support a strong run game too.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, Ian, just Kyle Pitts, Max Kellerman actually said on a show right before the draft that he reminds him of a young Rob Gronkowski, a very physical, dominant tight end that comes into the league young. And then just hopefully the problem with Rob Gronkowski and something he mentioned with Kyle Pitts too is the bigger the tight end is, usually the more injury prone they're going to be. But looking at number five for you guys, the wide receiver from LSU and actually hooking back up with Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals at number five, select Jamar Chase from LSU, the wide receiver. And then last year they also had the number one overall pick and they got Joe Burrow. So I'm pretty impressed with the Bengals having Chase and Burrow, having that connection come back from college and into the NFL.
But yeah, as you're just saying, I mean, Jamar Chase, he's been a very solid player. He already has that connection with Joe Burrow. But as this season, Joe Burrow tore his ACL, so definitely going to set him back. But just getting that college, I guess, bond, you could say, back and working in the pros, that could really benefit the Bengals. But right now, Bengals, one of the teams, they struggled last year, but luckily able to get that first pick where they could pick up Joe Burrow. But now getting that nice receiving core, they're going to get that LSU product of Jamar Chase. He's shown his work as 2,093 yards catching and 107 receptions, 23 touchdowns in only 2 years at LSU, as he did opt out last season. So for Jamar Chase, he has not played the past season, but he's ready to play in the NFL.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, I believe the Bengals are smart with getting more weapons for Joe Burrow, but a lot of people have also said that they're stupid in a way for not being able to try to get him an offensive line, as Joe Burrow, his first year in the league, tore his ACL, and you don't see that very often. So a lot of people are questioning what Joe Burrow can do next year after that big tear his rookie year.
But as you're saying, just getting that offensive line built up, it's definitely got to be a huge factor. As you saw him with LSU, LSU had the top lineman in the nation as they won the lineman award the year that LSU brought home the national championship. But right now he went with the Bengals. They have a couple decent, I guess you could say, linemen, but just their inability to be able to protect Joe, especially in the most needed moments, was what really affected Joe Burrow to that torn ACL.
Now looking at number six in the NFL draft, wide receiver from Alabama. It was actually a trade from Miami to Miami traded the pick to Philadelphia. Philadelphia traded the pick to Miami, and they chose from Alabama Jalen Waddle. And that's a very impressive pick. Miami, definitely, they got Tua last year, and then they were able to get Jalen Waddle this year. So I believe that those two, I mean, they're hooking up once again. Tua played at Alabama 2 years ago, and then now Waddle is coming to Miami. So that's two duos now that played in college that are now in the NFL.
But as you're saying, yeah, this is the second duo we've seen as they connected back in college. But the thing for Waddle, whenever Tua was in college, he didn't get a whole lot of reception in games played with them. But right now, Jalen Waddle comes in 5'9", 180 pounds. He's not the tallest receiver, but he's very quick. That's something that can really help him as he can beat the corners. He can get that, I guess you could say, head start as he's blitzing down the field, just trying to get open. Which Tua, he has the ability to read the field. So I think Waddle can be a definite threat here for the Dolphins.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Waddle just hopefully going to do good this next season. But looking at number 7 for the NFL draft, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. And something to mention, Ian, is you don't really see you play tackle as well here at the high school, but you don't see very many offensive tackles or even tackles in general going top 10 in an NFL draft.
Normally you're not going to see your linemen go in that type of order in the draft. But, I mean, when you're 6'6", 330 pounds, and he showed at Oregon, he has been a unit his whole college career. He's played 3 seasons there. And, I mean, I guess last season he opted out because Oregon was not playing in that Pac-12. But, I mean, he's been dominant. He's been bullying little defensive linemen, linebackers. His ability to get up to the second line of defense, he plows through that D-line, then he's up. And the next thing, you'll see him up to those safeties and everything. Just his ability to get to where he needs to be and create space not only for his running backs but to be able to buy time for his quarterback. I mean, for O-line, he did play that tackle position. He could play right tackle or he could play the blind side position for tackle. So he's definitely a pick that can really help Jared Goff with the Detroit Lions.
And as you mentioned there, I was actually about to mention that, is that big trade really I think everyone really forgot about already is Matthew Stafford is going to the Rams, and then Jared Goff came to the Lions. So hopefully that will be a big component for Jared Goff in his first year in Detroit. Now, skipping a few draft picks, we're going to go to number 10 on the draft pick, and that is the wide receiver from Alabama as well. Philadelphia actually traded that pick from Dallas, and they're going to pick up wide receiver Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner. I believe he won every single award this past season, being insanely good for Alabama and having also Mac Jones. We'll talk about him in just a little bit. But overall, Devontae Smith going number 10. I thought he was going to go probably 7, 8, or 9, but he went down to all the way number 10.
I mean, as a Heisman winner, you definitely expect him to be a lot closer to the top. This time he fell back, still in the top 10, but I guess you could say the very bottom. He's a true 4-year freshman, as he's caught for 3,965 yards on 235 receptions throughout his college career, as well as he's posted 46 touchdowns. But just his ability last year, he showed his ability to not only get around defenders, he has a very strong when he's running. He's got a beautiful stiff arm. He can hurdle players, and just his mobility and able to use his jukes to his advantage and create that space to push him to the end zone.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they're just insanely good, Devontae Smith. You said, I mean, there was multiple occasions I would watch an Alabama game and he would just push his way, keep trucking and keep grinding into that end zone. Now, looking at number 11, and this is the biggest pick that probably really surprises me, and the Chicago Bears also surprised me with this pick as well. Chicago actually traded the Giants for this pick, and they picked up the Ohio State quarterback who really everybody thought he could not beat Trevor Lawrence, and he beat him this year for that national championship, and that was Justin Fields going number 11. In my opinion, I believe, you know, Justin Fields should have gone top 5, but I believe it was just there was too many things wrong. There was too many unknowns for Justin Fields to be able to go top 5.
I mean, for Justin Fields, he's shown what he was capable of, but he did suffer a couple injuries throughout college, which kind of pushed him back. But he did start out at Georgia. He realized he wasn't going to get the starting job, and he didn't want to waste his career there. So that's when he entered the transfer portal to Ohio State, but he comes in 6'3", 227 pounds. That 6'3", I mean, I guess you wouldn't say it's as tall as a lineman, but his ability to be able to scan the field and maneuver his way out, and he's shown it all year long. And back in 2019, he was voted third in the voting for Heisman Award, and the last season he came in at 7th. But right now, just his ability, he's already thrown for 5,373 yards as well as 63 touchdowns. So he doesn't only have the ability to throw, he can also scramble and buy yards on the ground.
And as you mentioned there, I believe, you know, it's kind of questionable with the Bears picking up Justin Fields because they already have a whole bunch of cap room negatives, I guess you could say, because they didn't sign Mitchell Trubisky back, which I believe was a big mistake on the Bears' part. And then they traded for Nick Foles a few years ago. And then now they have Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. So now they have three quarterbacks, and really two of them are, I think Justin Fields is going to start probably at the middle of the next season because Andy Dalton, we saw him play at Dallas last year. He wasn't that good. And before that, he was in the Bengals. And then looking at overall, you know, Andy Dalton and Nick Foles getting injured from the Jaguars getting traded to the Bears. And then the Bears actually tried to trade Nick Foles after they drafted Justin Fields, but just nobody wanted him. And that just tells you that in the NFL, Nick Foles, I mean, he had that one chance to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and he did it, but not without the help of Carson Wentz.
But as you were just saying right there, Carson Wentz definitely carried him all the way into the playoffs, and I mean, after his injury, he kind of just took over from there. But overall, this pick could really help the Bears out. Justin Fields, he's not a quarterback I expect starting beginning of the year. He's definitely going to have to grow, definitely get stronger and bigger, as well as experience a little bit of what the NFL's like, just watching film over and over and having studies. But then I would say by week three or week four of next season, Justin Fields might just be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Now looking at number 15, and probably my most favorite pick in the NFL draft, and overall just looking at this guy from Alabama, the quarterback, the New England Patriots select Mac Jones, which there was a whole bunch of rumors going in right before the draft. You know, there's always rumors about the NFL draft, who's going to draft who, when, where, how. But I thought the New England Patriots were going to trade up and try to get Justin Fields, but they stayed at number 15, and they selected Mac Jones from Alabama. And Mac Jones, not as good as, you know, the other three quarterbacks, Zach Wilson, Trey Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence, and then even Justin Fields. But I believe the Patriots, under a veteran Cam Newton, Mac Jones will be a very good quarterback going into the next couple years.
I think this pickup for the Patriots definitely going to give them a big arsenal, or bigger arsenal, I should say. As they lost Tom Brady, that was their biggest threat they've had, just now kind of relying on Cam Newton. And then last year, I mean, they did all right, but definitely not where they want to be compared to when they or where they were with Brady. But, I mean, as you look at Mac Jones, he's a three-year player. As he played through his junior year at Alabama, freshman year didn't get as much game time. But his sophomore and junior year, he definitely showed off. He's thrown for 6,126 yards. But, I mean, for a quarterback in general, whenever you're going and you're playing at Alabama, I mean, that's not no easy school to get into. You have to have solid talent. So just having that talent out of Alabama, I think Mac Jones is a player that can potentially be a starter here in New England. But, I mean, he's going to have to work over Cam Newton. Cam Newton has a lot on his shoulders right now. Basically, if Cam Newton's not working hard, Mac Jones will be the next starter.
And as you mentioned there, Cam Newton last year, he ended up getting COVID. And then he was playing good before he got COVID. And then just after, you know, so many opt-outs on the team, I believe there was over a dozen opt-outs on the whole entire team in general. And then he got COVID and he was out for 2 weeks. And then he came back and then he just couldn't find his groove again. And then he ended up the first losing season the Patriots have had since, I believe, 2000. So looking at that, that's pretty insane. After a 20-year hiatus, the winning streak of the New England Patriots kind of end. But really looking at Mac Jones, I believe the Patriots did have a good pick after Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers. But now looking at one more pick for you guys before it's all done, or this episode is all done with us, is looking at the pick number 24 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They selected running back from Alabama, Najee Harris. And something that surprised me, too, is I believe he should have went higher, too, being a great running back. You didn't see any running backs in top 15. And that really surprises me because you saw linebackers, you saw safeties. But Najee Harris, I think with Pittsburgh and Big Ben coming back, I think that was a good pickup.
Definitely. As you could say, the running back throughout the NFL, definitely most teams have a solid running back core. But Najee Harris coming out of Alabama, he had a solid season. Well, I mean, as you look at Pittsburgh, they have a decent offensive line, so they're going to be able to create space for him to find holes, be able to take off, and just that ability to work with Ben Roethlisberger as he's coming back this year. I think it's definitely a good pickup for this team.
That's all the time we have for you guys, but make sure to tune in just a little bit. Ian Stevens will be sitting down with me and talking about just overall the NFL in the 2021 season. Thank you guys for listening for the 5 episodes. And we'll see you here in just a little bit when Ian Stevens comes on. WEEM.org, Apple, iTunes, and wherever podcasts are found to listen to this week's episode of the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.